Radio Daily for Weekend Eve, the 13th. Is that a good or bad? I don't know how to take that. It's strange. I don't know. Oh, hi. We're the folks from geekradiodaily.com. You know, some Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy, crazy places. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man who's got his opinions and he will not be silenced on them, that there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
This is the most disgusting thing I've ever drank.
I doubt that very much, Playboy.
Oh, yeah, Playboy. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
It's disgusting. You're like an animal.
It has been remarked, but that's okay. At least I don't mark my territory. Tell me, what happened upon this fine, fantabulous day there, sir?
I don't mark your territory anymore. 1898, Reverend Hannibal Williston Goodwin received a patent for his celluloid photographic film, which he describes as nitrocellulose transparent flexible photographic film pellicles.
Wish we still called it that.
Look at this nitrocellulose transparent flexible photographic film pellicles. That's my
shake it like a nitrocellulose transparent flexible photographic film pellicles.
You know, I tell you, a nitrocellulose transparent flexible photographic film pellicles is worth at least 1,000 words, mostly because I just used all 1,000 of them describing it.
1899, the first American automobile fatality occurs when Henry H. Bliss is run over as he exits a streetcar at the intersection of Central Park West and 74th Street in New York. He steps into the path of an approaching horseless carriage driven by Arthur Smith. Bliss, age 68, is taken to the hospital where he will die of his injuries. The driver is arrested and held on a $1,000 bail in 1899 money.
1922, the world's highest shade temperature is recorded at the African village of Al-Azazizia, about 25 miles south of Tripoli, the capital of Libya. Temperatures reach upwards of 136.4 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade, but at least it's a dry heat.
That's that Africa hot, the kind of hot that Tarzan couldn't handle that was talked about. 1956.
That's why people are constantly blessing Africa for the rains, man.
1956, IBM introduces the first commercial computer to feature a magnetic disk storage system, a hard drive, the IBM 305 RAMAC.
Yeah, one time they did a really good report and they just stuck that to the fridge in the break room. 1969, the animated series Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Premieres on CBS at 10:30 a.m. in the U.S.
1974, the sci-fi series Kolchak, The Night Stalker, premieres on ABC with the episode The Ripper, because we did two TV movies first. The series follows Carl Kolchak, who investigates crimes with mysterious and unlikely causes that authorities won't accept or pursue. It was the X-Files before the X-Files, although Darren McGavin even got tired of the Monster of the Week nature of the show.
I was so disappointed that they removed it from Netflix, because I was like halfway through the series.
God, it's such a good show.
1982, according to Twin Galaxies, Felipe Blanchard scores a record-setting 267,600 points playing the Sun Electronics arcade game Kangaroo at the Nathan's Game Room in Miami Beach, Florida.
Also in 82, Universal Pictures releases the comedy Fast Times at Ridgemont High, directed by Amy Heckerling, starring Sean Penn, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Judge Reinhold, Phoebe Cates, Brian Becker, Robert Romanus, Ray Walston, and Forrest Whitaker, and is still awesome to this day.
Especially for one particular scene. 1985, Nintendo releases the platform game Super Mario Brothers for the Famicom in Japan.
1993, Late Night with Conan O'Brien premieres on NBC.
1994, the Ulysses robotic space probe passes the sun's south pole.
1999, nuclear waste is dumped on the far side of the moon, exploding, sending the moon hurtling into deep space, carrying moon base Alpha along with it. Martin Landau and friends go into space. 1999.
2001, civilian aircraft traffic resumes in the United States following the September 11th attacks.
You think they'd be much more concerned about the moon. 2005, Nintendo releases the latest version of its Game Boy handheld system, the Game Boy Micro, in Japan.
2007, at the Wired Next Fest, Google and the XPRIZE Foundation announced the Google Lunar XPRIZE, a competition that will award $20 million to the first corporation to successfully land and operate a robotic rover on the surface of the moon. Get on that, Muskie. Come on. $20 million, that's loose change in Elon Musk's couch.
Think of how much weed he could buy with that. Birthdays?
Oh, wow. God, the world went crazy over something so stupid. Robbie K, 23 years old, Pinocchio, Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, Heroes Reborn, and Peter Pan in Once Upon a Time.
Luis Lombard is 48 from CSI, Stargate Universe, and Grimm.
Tyler Perry's mom presents Tyler Perry, 49 years old, from Madea, Alex Cross, and of course, the Star Trek movie.
Yeah, that one. Jean Smart is 67 years of age from Designing Women, the Brady Bunch movie, Frasier, Samantha Who, Fargo season 2. She's on Legion.
Loved her in the Brady Bunch movie. Don Bluth, 81 years old, animator. He did The Secret of Nim, American Tale, Land Before Time, Titan AE. And of course, we remember him at least the first three scenes of Dragon's Lair. I never got past those.
Ah, oh, come on. Titan AE was awesome. No longer with us, born this date in 1766, Samuel Wilson, American meat packer, namesake of Uncle Sam.
1857, Milton S. Hershey, American businessman, founded Mars Bars. I founded the Hershey Company.
He used to have a company that made roads. 1904, Gladys George from the Maltese Falcon and Lullaby of Broadway. Don't you love those delayed jokes? Those are beautiful.
That was naughty. 1908, Mae Questel, voice of Betty Boop Olive Oil, played Aunt Bethany in Christmas Vacation.
1912, Rita Shaw from Mary Poppins, The Ghost and Mrs. Chicken, and Escape to Witch Mountain.
1916, Raoul Dahl, author of Where the Wild Things Are, James and the Giant Peach, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, BFG, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
1924, Scott Brady from Journey to the Center of Time, The Mighty Gorga, China Syndrome, and Gremlins.
1939, Richard Kiel from The Human Duplicators, Happy Gilmore, and of course was Jaws in the Bond franchise.
I can't believe you forgot that he was in EGA. Come on, dude. 1948, Nell Carter from Hair, The Misadventures of Sheriff Lobo, Gimme a Break, and Hangin' with Mr. Cooper. All quality programs.
You're not wrong. On CBS, we got a rerun of Big Bang Theory, Building Better Minds, a new Big Brother, and a rerun of SWAT.
ABC, it's Celebrity Family Feud, Match Game, and a new Take Two.
NBC has four reruns of The Good Place and a rerun of Ellen O'Swoo.
Fox, it's a rerun of MasterChef and The Gifted.
CW has a rerun of the Hanson Brothers Ghostbusting Power Hour known as Supernatural and The Originals.
Freeform is showing National Treasure because someone's probably going to reboot that one day or make a series out of it or something.
I just want them to make a third one. I love those movies. CMT, Big Time Dance. New Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders on Making the Team.
Indeed. Discovery Channel, it's Frenemies on a new Naked and Afraid. You can't have the enemy part at all if you're naked and afraid. You got to just be friends.
It's the only way to take care of that situation. FX Franklin received some very devastating news on a new Snowfall.
FXX and The Simpsons, it's a Treehouse of Horror marathon from the beginning.
Ooh, IFC has Wayne's World. That is a classic movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it.
BBC America X-Files, Fight the Future.
Paramount has Wrath of the Titans.
If you lose the bet, Sci-Fi Channel is showing Anaconda. It's my first real movie. It was supposed to be such a big hit, but it's such a disaster.
CBS, Snoop Dogg presents The Joker's Wild.
TNT is showing Godzilla.
VH1 has Titanic.
Sure. USA, it's a new Queen of the South, but then Bob Lee attempts to end Atlas once and for all while also trying to save his marriage on a new episode of Shooter, but we're watching the Hallmark Channel because when a teenage downhill skier asks a former ski legend for help in preparing for the competition, the past champion-turned-coach unexpectedly finds herself gaining a reawakened passion for the sport and a budding romance on the horizon. Christy Swanson and Dean Cain have a winter's dream.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
John fights for Marlena. He believes the soundtrack for the walkout should be upbeat songs, you know, like Walking on Sunshine. Sammy is upset about her mother's condition, which means she gets a flashback montage set to I Will Always Love You, because they're going for the very dramatic. Hope argues with Rafe over Sammy. You watch her flashback. No, you watch it. Ben surprises Sierra with a gift. At least, that's what he calls it. Come on, man, you better than that. Be Don Juan Della Nooch. Hashtag chabby. Forever.
No blasted letters today.
No, there's not an email at all because people are still running around scrambling, getting every last little bit. I mean, this is like a zombie movie, watching people fight over bread, fist fights over bread. It's ridiculous, folks. You don't even like bread that much. But if you do, why not write a love letter to bread and send it to us? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or better yet, pull out the guitar that you always said you were going to learn how to play, but you can strum three chords of, and write your love song for bread and sing it to us at the voicemail number of
510-GRD-CROW.
And if you can do it to the tune of a song by Bread, even better.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants, they love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO network.
The Nerd Bliss podcast.
Listen!
Hey, this is Christy Swanson, the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
And star of a snowing skiing movie with Dean Cain. Huh? Good times. I know where we're going to be.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blastoff.
One thing I knew is that my allies and I had just obliterated the largest horde of rabid zombies I'd ever encountered, and then suddenly, Chief Wiggum 49 and Halo is my bitch 12 decided to frag me.
Oh yeah, it's the kind of thing that could happen, especially when people are fighting over bread, for the love of God. Tell you what, the arcade's open. What we playing, sir?
Shinobi Refle Senran Kagura, a new Senran Kagura game for Switch that takes advantage of the HD Rumble on the Switch.
That's going to be good then. The HD Rumble's amazing. Defunct, a fast-paced indie action driving game from first-time developers freshly squeezed for the Switch.
Bastion, a story about a kid, his hammer, and a world gone all kinds of wrong. It's available for the Switch.
The Warlock of Firetop Mountain. Ten Man Games brings the classic game book to life with an adventure game that changes depending on the hero selected for the Switch.
Okay, but I think I have that original board game. Super Dungeon Tactics, a turn-based fantasy game from developer Underbite Games. Available for the Switch.
Old School Musical. What has 50 amazing chiptune tracks, a loony story mode, 32 different chicken types to fight, and takes you on a tour of all your favorite retro games? It's Old School Musical, of course, for the Switch.
Dolings Arcade, a bat and ball game inspired by Arkanoid. Huh? For the Switch.
Danger Mouse, the Danger Games, based on the 2015 Danger Mouse reboot for the Switch.
Wasteland 2, Brian Fargo, Alan Pavlish, and our buddy Mike Stackpole. Hey, Snackpole. And others reunite for a sequel to their hit 1988 post-apocalyptic CRPG Wasteland. Wasteland 2 is a fan-funded from a successful Kickstarter campaign. It's available for the Switch.
Congrats! The Spectrum Retreat, a narrative-driven first-person puzzle game set in the near future at the Penrose Hotel for the Switch.
Shadow Fight 2, the second installment of Shadow Fight for the Switch.
The Warrior Lock, rich and entertaining story-driven adventure RPG with hopelessly flawed characters steeped in a supernatural tale of courage, sacrifice, secrets, and shenanigans for the PC. Damn it, Farva.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, the third game in Laura's rebooted series for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One.
Nintendo Labo Vehicle Kit allows players to build steering devices for cars, planes, and submarines for the Switch.
Black Clover Quartet Knights, a game based on the manga of the same name for the PS4.
Neon Wall, an action puzzle game for the PS4.
NHL 19, the 19th installment in EA Canada's popular National Homicide League series of games for the PS4.
Trickster, a room-scale first-person wave defense in VR for the PS4.
Tavern Guardians Banquet, a strategic match 3 RPG. Every action you take will determine your success against countless monsters and magical creatures. Take up arms as a heroic guardian and claim victory against evil for the PC.
Labyrinth of Refrain, Coven of Dusk, a Nipponichi dungeon crawler RPG with artwork from Takehito Harada, the artist of the Disgaea series, for the Switch.
Undertale, a quirky role-playing game that takes place in a secret subterranean world of monsters and gives players the choice to either kill or spare their enemies. We know you've heard about it, and if you've got a Switch, you can finally play it.
Here's a spoiler. Don't kill anyone. Sword of the Guardian, a hardcore and old-school style beat-em-up game featuring exhilarating gameplay experiences by featuring command-based combo attacks customized for each character. Has up to 3-player co-op for the Switch.
Siegecraft Commander, a strategy game for the Switch. If you wanted to know more, screw you.
Scribblenauts Mega Pack combines two classic Scribblenauts titles together and adds new levels, items, characters, and more. All for the Switch.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So talks broke down for a cameo by Henry Cavill as Superman in Shazam due to scheduling conflicts. and the door is now closing on other potential appearances for the actor, the DC Cinematic Universe appears to be losing its Man of Steel. Henry Cavill, who's played Superman in 3 films, is parting ways with Warner Brothers, allegedly. The British actor who first donned the blue suit for 2013's Man of Steel, then was in 2016's Batman v Supes, last year's Justice League, is said to be hanging up his red cape. What? Warners had been trying to enlist Cavill, who most recently co-starred in Mission Impossible Fallout, for a Superman cameo in Shazam. Zachary Levi is going to be in it. It's April 5th, but contract talks just went away. Went crazy. The studio has shifted its focus to a Supergirl movie. That's going to be an origin story. It's like they don't care about DC anymore. This removes the need for Cavill's age and character from the storyline equation at all, as Kal-El would be an infant according to DC lore.
They're fine with aliens and people that fly, but that's where they draw the line in believability? Gotcha.
Furthermore, Warners isn't likely to make a solo Superman film for at least several years, according to another source. Superman's like James Bond, and after a certain run, you have to look to a new actor. As such, Cavill will join Ben Affleck, who is not expected to reprise his role for Matt Reeves' Batman. Look, DC, I'm one of your biggest frickin' supporters here, but this is dumb.
Wait. Maybe it's not Warner Brothers. Maybe Lex or Grodd have transported over into the real world and are executive producers on this. And this is their evil plan.
As much as some people enjoyed or did not enjoy Cavill and Affleck in their roles, we can all agree that Gal Gadot and Jason Momoa are delightful in their roles. As long as they keep them, we're fine. Though we will always have a soft spot in our heart for the lost mustache of Krypton.
Since it has been 24 hours, let's talk Swamp Thing.
Oh, let's do.
Derek Mears from Sleepy Hollow, Men in Black 2, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has been cast to play Swamp Thing, but he is best known for his role as Jason Voorhees in the reboot of Friday the 13th.
Well, they were serious about that hard R rating. All right, look, Derek's a cool guy, but he does not look like a scientist. Come on.
Well, he has been cast only as the creature, but not as Dr. Alec Holland. It's kind of like a Bill Bixby, Lou Ferrigno kind of a thing. Swamp Thing is aiming for a 2019 premiere date exclusively on the DC Universe streaming app.
Tune in tomorrow when we learn that Swamp Thing plans to make Game of Thrones look tame in every aspect. They swear this pushes that hard R with violence and adult themes, which the producers promise will make people think of something completely different from now on when they hear the term Swamp Ass.
Even though production is underway for the first season of the BBC's new drama His Dark Materials, based on the Philip Pullman book trilogy, an 8-part season 2 has already been ordered.
More polar bears!
This show is a very big deal for the BBC. The ensemble cast comprises James McAvoy, Daphne Keane, Lin-Manuel Miranda, with the series already considered to be one of the most expensive British shows ever.
Game of Polar Bears!
Keane, known for her role as X-23 in Logan, stars as Lyra, an orphan from a parallel universe. Miranda will portray the adventurer Lee Scoresby, and McAvoy playing Lyra's father, Lord Asriel.
Days of Future Polar Bears?
In development since 2016, there is no word on a premiere date for His Dark Materials. The first book in the trilogy, The Golden Compass, was adapted into a movie in 2007, and many thought we would never see this verse again, but we should remember, when you live for many hundreds of years, you know that every opportunity will come again. Especially if the sponsorship deal from Coke comes through.
Concept cars. They're exciting because we get to see what new cars will potentially look like and dream about the tech they promise is coming. Once in a while, that tech makes us do a double or even a triple take, like the Vision Urbanitic, which Mercedes-Benz revealed this week. And no, it's not the guy who voiced Rusty on Venture Brothers. It is a quadruple take experience. In fact, its creator doesn't even call it a concept car. A car, after all, is always a car. A truck stays a truck. Except, of course, El Camino, which is
vehicular hermaphrodite?
Well, it's the best of both worlds.
Ah, manual and automatic.
The James Urbaniac, however, is a body-swappable hybrid that can haul pallets, packages, or people, depending on when and where it's rolling. This being the future and all, it's also fully electric and fully autonomous. That's why the Germans call this creature a mobility concept. I always get a little nervous when the Germans start talking about special inventions and stuff like that. It supports two bodies. The cargo setup fits 10 regulation size pallets or 353 cubic feet of Amazon packages. The people mover mode can hold up to 12 passengers. The idea, as pitched by Mercedes, is that the vehicles could take on whatever form is most needed at any given moment. Hustle commuters to work in the morning, swap bodies, and spend a few hours delivering packages, only stopping to charge its batteries. It may look rather silly, but it's a valid attempt to think through how automakers can stay relevant in a future where cities want fewer vehicles to do more. It's unclear why the cargo body looks like a loaf of bread spray-painted silver, or why the designers modeled the passenger setup on a sliced potato model. Other details are easier to understand, like the display on the front of the vehicle that communicates with pedestrians, and it's clear why the passenger body has windows the cargo one doesn't need. The press released this statement. It envisages transporting more people and goods with fewer vehicles on a virtually unchained road infrastructure in order to live in a city and at the same time fulfill continuing growing mobility requirements and customer desires. This is kind of cool and all, but do we really need a reason for another transporter movie? And I was kind of hoping they would finally make the Homer a reality, because bubble domes rule. I'm looking at you, Jake Gyllenhaal. That's right, a Bubble Boy reference.
Well, we've done it, folks. The day is finally here. Steam has now bolstered its suite of filtering tools, which previously centered mostly around violence, with mature and sexual content filters that require developers to fill out a mature content survey describing their game's specific naughty and or gory bits so that users can understand what they're getting into before visiting the pages. Game developer Darker, the director Adam Tilley, said that Valve recently reached out to let him know he could resubmit Negligé. And once he filled out the survey, his underwear video game was free to gad about.
Which means what?
Well, as Tilly said, I submitted the full uncensored edition for review, and they had no issues with the content since I filled in the survey properly. Steam now allows uncensored games. That means you're going to be able to play Boobs Saga, a satirical 3D action game about escaping from a dungeon, and probably also boobs, maybe. It hasn't been approved yet, but developer Grigori Kukertrin is filling out the mature content survey as we speak.
This and all adult games, they're just penis saga.
The only issue, many creators may not realize that it is enabled by default, the whole filter thing, which will remove your adult games from the store. So check your settings, creators. Now you can give us what we've always wanted, the Leisure Suit Larry game with real, real naughty stuff. A Dong of War, or really embrace the uncensored and give us that crazy adventure game, BioShocker.
GRD
is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution. We are 12 years old, ladies and gentlemen. Thank
Why
you.
Why do we not have a Parsec?
Can I make this train fly now? Creative Commons Attribution, not commercial, not commercial, super delicious, but you got on Facebook and Twitter, some of the website at geekradiodaily.com. All the words, mostly every syllable, almost every single one of them, drop a note to it, podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or send a voicemail over to
510-GRD.
And serious, everybody up and down the East Coast here with us, be safe, don't do anything stupid, get out of town if you have to, and please enjoy your milk, bread, toilet paper sandwiches. We'll see you!
I detect no source of amusement.
Good night, suckers!
Listen, ladies, it's been real, and it's been fun.
But has it been real fun? Mm-hmm. Nope.
Look, what do I say to her once we get in the car?
No problem, Red. What you need is my special 5-point plan.
Come on, Damone, I need real help here.
What do you mean? Hey, men have died trying to obtain this valuable information, you know. But I'll give it to you for free.
Okay, what's your 5-point plan?
All right. Now pay attention. First of all, Rat, you never let on how much you like a girl.
Oh, Debbie.
Hi. Two, you always call the shots. Kiss me. You won't regret it. Now three, act like wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this great? Four. When ordering food, you find out what she wants, then order for the both of you. It's a classy move. Now, the lady will have the linguine and white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice. And five. Now, this is most important, Rat. Go comes down to making out, whenever possible, put on side one of Led Zeppelin 4.